Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So today we're looking at a really foundational document out of South Africa.
We are. It's the White Paper on Population Policy from the Government Gazette on September 7, 1998.
And this document really marks a clean break from the past.
That's the essential context, yeah. You have to see it as a complete pivot. The old policies were so tied to apartheid ideology, you know?
Right, focusing on things like fertility reduction and controlling where people could even live.
Exactly. Fundamentally restrictive.
So the new government had to just scrap that whole approach.
Yeah.
What did they choose to build the new policy around?
They went with the paradigm of sustainable human development. Or SDH for short.
SDH, okay.
Then the white paper makes it really explicit. The whole goal is to shift population trends, fertility, mortality, migration, so that they line up with achieving SDH and, you know, a high and equitable quality of life for everyone.
Sustainable human development is a phrase you hear a lot in policy circles. But putting people at the center, what does that actually mean in practice? Is it more than just academic language?
It's meant to be. It's really a deep systemic change. It repositions the population not as a problem to be managed or contained, but as the actual driving force of development.
So the people are the means in the end goal.
Precisely. And it's all anchored in human rights. It recognizes this reciprocal link between population, development, and the environment. You meet today's needs without wrecking things for future generations.
But to implement a vision that big, they had to confront some pretty brutal realities on the ground in the late 90s, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. The situation analysis in the document it's quite sobering.
What were the biggest obstacles they identified?
Well, right at the top of the list was just the sheer severity of poverty. An estimated 45% of the population was living in poverty.
45%. And those economic issues were piled on top of some immediate demographic threats, especially the health crisis.
Exactly. The HIV/AIDS threat was critical. The document noted that the rate of new HIV infections was actually doubling every 15 months at the time.
Unbelievable. And what about the economic picture beyond poverty?
Also pretty bleak. Overall, unemployment was sitting around 33%. And the paper also highlighted these really deep structural gender inequalities.
Right. That was a major focus.
A huge focus. For example, women's share of the total national income was only about 30.5%. And then you have the societal violence it details, an estimated average of one rape every 83 seconds.
So these weren't just separate problems. They were seen as critical population concerns that needed direct policy intervention.
Yes. They were all interconnected.
Which means the policy couldn't just focus on one thing, like health or education. It had to be multi-sectoral.
It had to be. And that's why it was explicitly tied into the big national development plans of the time.
That would be the RDP and GEAR.
The Reconstruction and Development Program and the GEAR macroeconomic strategy. Yep, it was all integrated. The policy itself covered 10 broad strategic areas, going way beyond just fertility.
And that included things like poverty reduction and employment, but also, critically, what parts of governance?
Governance and measurement. It really emphasized data collection, research, and building up technical capacity.
So you can actually track what's happening.
Exactly. And because the strategy was so broad, implementation couldn't just be one department's job. It was the shared responsibility of the entire government, national, provincial, all the ministries.
And the private sector too, I imagine.
The private sector and civil society, everyone had a role.
So really, the ultimate takeaway of this 1998 paper is that population policy became an integral part of development itself, not some kind of substitute for it.
That's the core idea. This systematic integration of population factors into all government plans.
A truly systemic commitment.
Precisely. But, you know, this deep dive leaves us with a pretty important question, and it's one for you, the listener, to think about.
Okay.
The white paper repeatedly and very honestly stressed how weak the reliable data collection and research capacity was at the time. They knew they needed to strengthen it for any kind of effective monitoring.
Right.
So the question is, how challenging is it for a country to launch a massive integrated national strategy when the very mechanism you need to evaluate it, your factual foundation, is acknowledged from the start as being deficient? That data gap itself becomes a crucial part of the story.